I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So I saw this meme sometime during Advent this year. If you don't get the humor, you're probably not alone. It's poking fun at the fact that so many pictures of Jesus depict him as a white European. In the past 20 years or so, there's been some pushback from other cultures. It's not unusual to find nativity scenes and paintings in other countries depicting Jesus as the same race as the majority of that people. You find Asian Jesus, or African Jesus, East Indian Jesus, and Native American Jesus, to name just a few. Now, when that started, it kind of bothered me. I chalked it up to just another one of those politically correct swipes at Christianity. And it also bothered me because the Christian narrative is a true story. Real history. Jesus was a real person. And to depict Jesus in some other way seemed to be making it into a bit of a fairy tale that we can mold or shape and change to fit our own personal desires and needs. But the account of Jesus is no myth. It certainly doesn't belong in the same category as flying reindeer and a guy in a red suit who lives at the North Pole. What we hear in the gospel readings really happened. And Luke emphasizes that by noting some of the historical details that were taking place at the time of Jesus' birth. Who the Caesar was, the verifiable fact that a census and a tax was taking place, and even who the governor of that region was at the time. The Christmas story is an actual, literal account about the real Jesus and his birth. But the more you think about it, I wonder if those paintings really may be onto something. After all, Jesus was Middle Eastern, not European. And so depicting him as white-skinned and blue eyes, as so often happens, clearly isn't any more historically accurate than any other cultures. And just maybe the various cultural depictions of Jesus communicate something that no singular Jesus picture could ever do, and which our gospel lesson states, or that verse that I read earlier states, that this message is good news for all people. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Christ the Lord is born for you. He's yours no matter what race, ethnicity, or culture you happen to be connected to. He's your kind. He's humankind. You see, when the Son of God took on our human nature in the womb of the Virgin Mary, he didn't just become a man, he became man. The immortal one became immortal in order to make us mortals immortal. The Son of God became a descendant of Adam in order to make the descendants of Adam the sons of God. He came for every nation, race, people, every language. God talked about this to Abraham. He declared to him when telling him what he was about to do. He said, I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing, and in you all nations, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Though Jesus was indeed a Jew, his birth reveals the truth that there is, in fact, only one human race, the fallen children of Adam. And Luke also emphasizes this in the genealogy that we find in his gospel, as he traces Jesus' lineage all the way back to Adam. Every sinner is redeemed and restored to God by this newborn baby in the manger. Jesus came for all people from every corner of the globe, and in his body, all people are put right with God again. So when Jesus is depicted or portrayed as African or Asian or European, theologically speaking, that's true. By becoming man, Christ becomes one with all people to deliver all people. The Savior is born for you. He's one of you. Your very flesh and blood, your true human brother. And there is no one that's left out of the new life that comes from his birth. He's like you in every way, except without sin, so that you might become like him in every way and share in his righteousness, won for you at his cross. Luther spoke about that as the great exchange. At the cross, Jesus exchanged his holiness, his righteousness, his immortality for your sin and your guilt and your death, as God the Father made him who knew no sin to be sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He did that. He did that so that he might be, God might be, at peace with us. For in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. It's that and that alone that's the basis for the peace on earth of which the angels sang that first Christmas night. You know, as beautiful as the Christmas story may be, it only finds its meaning in light of Good Friday. See, it was there that Christ reconciled God and sinners. We rebels are no longer under God's wrath. We are at peace with him, again, through his self-giving mercy. The warfare between heaven and earth is now ended. The case of God against the human race is settled because our penalty was taken by Jesus. And it was there at the cross that God's love for the world was fully revealed. In the body of Mary, our flesh has been joined to God. That's what John was saying in the gospel lesson read earlier. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And heaven and earth are at peace as God and man are brought back together in Jesus. And baptized into Christ, you are joined with him and made right with God. Now, though he came as the Prince of Peace, that first Christmas night probably wasn't very peaceful for Joseph and Mary. Not only did they have to deal with the stress and anxiety of traveling to Bethlehem for some government census, but also of trying to find a place to lodge while she was in labor. And there was no place for them, except with the animals. Imagine a first-time mother having to give birth under those conditions. But Jesus' birth under those circumstances was actually prophetic of his whole ministry. As his ministry became more clear, he would be despised and rejected by men. John said that he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. People didn't understand or grasp who he truly was. And he lived as an outcast, as an outsider among his own people. And yet John goes on, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. Now, I suppose we'd all probably like to think if we were there that night that we'd probably have made room for Jesus and Mary and Joseph somehow. But the reality is our lives often say otherwise. Because we too shut Jesus out, push him away. Like his enemies during his earthly ministry, we often don't want him interfering with our daily lives. And if we're honest, we must admit that we too resist his call to love those he puts into our lives. His call to be his disciple in the world outside of this place. But here's the good news. The message this morning is that Christ came for you. To rescue you, to forgive you. He made room for you. And for the joy set before him, the joy of knowing that his life and death and resurrection would gain eternal life for you, he endured the indignities of a lowly birth and a humiliating death. That Christmas story actually foreshadows why Jesus came into this world. For even as he was born outside the inn with the animals, so he would be crucified outside the city with beastly criminals. And even as he was wrapped in strips of linen and laid in a manger, he would be wrapped in linen cloths and laid in a tomb. That wood of the manger would later be traded for the wood of the cross. We must never forget that truth, that at Christmas the eternal God took on flesh and blood so that he might die to cleanse us and make us his own holy people. That's what Christmas is all about. And today he comes to you again, in with and under these forms of bread and wine, to give you the forgiveness that he earned for you at the cross. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world comes to tell you that your sin has been taken away, that you are forgiven. And now again this morning, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility to reconcile us to God. He came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him we have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but members of the household of God. To all of you, whoever you are, Asian, African, East Indian, Native American, even white Europeans, wherever you come from, whatever you've done, Christmas tells you that you can know this. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. And in him you are forgiven, put right with God, and all is well. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Amen. And Merry Christmas.